Welcome to the Advanced Ableton Live 12 Drop course, where we're building a roughneck-style jungle and old-school DNB drop using resampling as the main creative engine. This one is all about attitude, not just programming a loop, but actually performing the arrangement through edits. So think less like a grid composer and more like a selector, a cutter, and a mad scientist with a sampler. We're going after that rough, urgent, slightly unstable energy that makes classic jungle and darker DNB feel alive. The big idea here is simple. We're going to write a 16-bar drop that evolves through resampled drums, resampled bass, chop transitions, and small but important detail changes. By the end, you should have a drop blueprint that feels rude, controlled, and ready to sit inside a full track. So let's get into the workflow. First, set up your Ableton Live 12 session around the right tempo. For classic jungle and roughneck energy, aim somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want it a little more modern and heavy, push it up slightly into the 172 to 176 range. Either way, keep the session clean and organized from the start. I like to create a simple channel layout. Drums, breaks, sub, res, FX, and then two resampling tracks. Also keep a master reference chain for monitoring only. On your bass groups, put a utility on early and make sure the low end stays mono where it needs to. That's one of those boring steps that makes everything else work better. At this stage, don't chase the final sound yet. Just build a recording environment. On the drum side, use a drum rack for one shots, simpler for break slices, and maybe a light glue compressor and saturator on the drum bus. On the bass side, start with something like Wavetable or Operator, then keep it simple with utility, saturator, and auto filter. Now let's build the core break. Drag in a classic break, or use your own recorded break material, and open it in simpler or slice it to a new MIDI track. For a jungle vibe, this is not about perfect quantization. It's about character. Start with a two-bar loop that has strong kick and snare anchors, some ghost notes in between, and maybe one or two cuts that feel slightly wrong in a good way. That slightly wrong part matters. A lot of the energy in old-school jungle comes from edits that feel human, raw, and on the edge. Nudge a few slices ahead of the grid for urgency. Pull a few ghost notes slightly late so the groove breathes. Add short fades to keep chop transients clean. You want movement, not mess. On the drum bus, keep processing tasteful. A little drum bus drive, very light glue, and maybe some EQ cleanup if the break gets too brittle or too muddy. Usually I'm just looking to control the extremes, not flatten the life out of it. Here's a key mindset shift. The break is your rhythmic signature. It's not just background percussion. It's part of the hook. Now we build the bass, but we do it in a way that encourages editing later. Create a rude bass source using Wavetable or Operator. You want something playable, but not final. A nice approach is a saw-based or PWM-style res with a second oscillator slightly detuned. Keep the filter somewhere in the low-mid area, maybe around 120 to 250 Hz depending on the notes, and add subtle modulation so the tone moves a little over time. If you want a separate sub, even better. Keep that clean and simple underneath. Then do something important. Resample it immediately. Create an audio track. Name it something clear like RZ Bass Print. Set the input to resampling, arm it, and record a few bars while you perform the patch. Move the filter between phrases. Adjust drive a little. Open resonance slightly at the end of a call phrase. Let one note ring and choke another. But here's the big coaching note. Move one control at a time whenever possible. If you twist everything at once, it becomes hard to repeat the good moments later. Once it's recorded, commit to the audio. That's where the real edit mentality starts. Now you've got a bass performance printed into audio, and that means you can cut it, reverse it, pitch it, and reshape it like a living phrase. Take that resampled bass and start turning it into call and response. Cut it into phrase chunks and arrangement view. Think in one bar and two bar conversations. Maybe the first bar hits on the end of one or beat two, then the next bar answers on beat three or the last quarter note. This is a very DNB thing. The bass should answer the drums, not just sit on top of them. Use reverse tails for tension. Pitch small sections up or down by a semitone or two when you want old-school phrasing. Consolidate regions into clear phrase clips so you can compare variations fast. Keep an eye on warping too. For bass, you want tight timing and strong fundamentals, so don't stretch the low end into something weird unless that's the effect you want. If a resampled bass clip gets muddy, use EQ to carve a little space. Cut some mud around 180 to 350 Hz if needed. Tame harshness in the 2 to 5 kHz zone if the distortion gets edgy. But don't mess with the sub too much unless absolutely necessary. The goal is to preserve weight while controlling the character. A really good trick here is clip-specific processing. Duplicate a bass slice and put a little extra saturation, filter movement, or reverb tail only on that clip. Now you've got a variation that can hit like a one-shot instead of sounding like a loop. Now let's talk sub, because the low end has to stay disciplined. Your printed bass can carry grit, movement, and some width, but the actual sub should be clean and mono. Use operator with a sine wave for this. Keep it under about 100 to 120 Hz, and don't stereo widen it. Keep it simple and locked in. Often the sub works best when it's a bit sparse, leaving room for the drums to breathe. If you want, sidechain the sub from the kick with a compressor so the kick can breathe through. You only need a gentle amount of gain reduction most of the time. This shouldn't feel like obvious pumping, unless that's the specific style you're after. Check mono often. If the low end falls apart, that usually means too much stereo content is sneaking into the wrong place. Now for the fun stuff. Transition edits. This is where the course gets properly roughneck. Instead of relying on generic risers, resample your own FX out of the material you already have. Print a one-bar break fill. Record a bass filter sweep. Capture a hit with reverb tail and reverse it. Run a noisy stab through echo or delay and print the result. Then edit those recordings into little punctuation marks. Pick up stutters before the drop. Half-bar fills. Reverse swells into a snare roll. Single-hit impacts that announce a new section. That's the kind of thing that makes a drop feel hand-built instead of copy-pasted. Ableton stock tools are plenty here. Echo for space and grit. Reverb for smeared tails. Auto-filter for tension. Beat repeat for controlled glitches. Frequency shifter if you want metallic movement, but use it sparingly. You want the edit to reinforce the bar structure, while still surprising the listener. Now let's arrange the drop in a way that feels like it's moving. Don't just loop two bars over and over. Build the drop in four-bar emotional blocks. The first four bars establish the break and bass hook. The next four add a second percussion layer or a higher bass response. The next four strip something away for tension. And the last four bring in a switch-up, fill, or reduce drum pattern before the loop turns around. A good ENB drop evolves. It doesn't just get louder. It changes shape. Here's one simple arrangement idea. Bar 1 is the full intro of the drop. Bar 3 gives the first bass reply. Bar 5 introduces an open hat layer. Bar 7 gets a chopped break microfill. Bar 9 opens the reese a bit more. Bar 11 gives you a 1-bar drum reduction, while the bass carries the tension. Then by bar 13, you've got a bigger hit pattern or a reset into the next phrase. That kind of structure keeps the listener locked in. They may not consciously notice every change, but they'll definitely feel the movement. When you mix, think of the drums and bass as one rhythm machine, not separate tracks. Start with balance. Kick, snare, break, and sub all need to be readable. The snare has to cut through. The sub has to feel solid, but not bigger than the snare's weight. Breaks can sit a touch behind the main hits if they're acting as texture rather than primary punch. On the drum bus, a little glue compressor and saturator can help glue the parts together and give the break some body. On the bass bus, use utility for mono control and maybe some gentle saturation or roar. If you want a more modern edge, EQ is for sculpting, not heavy surgery, and always check the mix in mono. This is where a lot of underground DNB power lives, strong mid-range clarity, disciplined low end, and just enough grit to sound alive. Once the core loop works, do a final micro-edit pass. Automate the bass filter by tiny amounts across four bars. Move drum send levels into reverb or delay only for specific fills. Mute one ghost snare before a big hit to create anticipation. Add tiny pitch drops or reverses at phrase endings. Use clip gain to make certain bass stabs feel more spoken and less uniform. This is the difference between a static loop and a real drop. Every time a phrase repeats, change something. One drum hit, one bass note, one tail, one FX moment, one filter state. That's enough to keep it fresh. A few advanced coach notes before we wrap. Think of the drop as a recording of a performance, not a loop-based composition. The more you commit to audio early, the more personality you'll get. When resampling, keep a keeper track ready. As soon as you print a great phrase, drop it into a designated audio lane so you can build from the winners instead of hunting through every experiment later. Also, don't judge edits in solo for too long. In jungle and DNB, something that sounds odd by itself can feel perfect once the snare and sub are back in. If the groove feels stiff, edit the space between hits, not just the hits themselves. Silence placement is often what creates that roughneck feel. And if the drop feels too clean, add one imperfect thing. A clipped snare tail, a pitched break slice, A rough resampled bass hit with audible grit. Just one small flaw can make the whole section feel more human. So here's the big takeaway. Build the drop around resampling and edits. Keep the sub mono, keep the drums punchy, and arrange in 4-bar blocks so the energy evolves naturally. Treat the whole thing like a rhythm performance, then refine it with micro edits and selective automation. If you do that well, your Roughneck DNB drops won't just sound hard. They'll sound intentional, underground, and replayable. Now go print the chaos, cut it up, and make it move.